A former student opened fire with a semi-automatic rifle at a South Florida high school Wednesday, killing at least 17 people and sending hundreds of students fleeing into the streets. It was the nation's deadliest school shooting since a gunman attacked Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut in 2012. Dr. Amy Nitza is director of the Institute for Disaster Mental Health at the State University of New York at New Paltz.
Sort of one of my benchmarks is the Columbine shooting, which happened while I was in graduate school studying psychology. And from that event until now, the increased frequency of these has become such that, you know, one of my biggest concerns is that as a society, as a collective, if you're not from the community in which one of these incidents is happening, that they've really become almost, and I hesitate to use this word, but they've almost become ordinary or commonplace. The frequency also draws our attention from one to another so quickly that I think we forget, maybe not forget, but I think that we gloss over the depth of each of these tragedies as an individual incident, as an individual tragedy. And I think that leaves us with a problem of not fully grasping what this level of violence says or means for us as a society.
She says the Florida school shooting can stir up emotions in communities that have experienced similar tragedies, including for mental health professionals and first responders.
You know, we use the term collective trauma to describe that phenomena where, you know, an entire group of people that are connected in some way are impacted in a way that where they create sort of a shared meaning around that. And unfortunately, now we have Sandy Hook here and multiple other communities across the country who are going to continue to be reminded and triggered over, you know, any number of years by the ongoing nature of these events. And so, you know, as a community continues to grapple with the loss and to make some meaning of it for themselves, these incidents just continue to keep bringing it up in a way that may perpetuate conversation in a way that otherwise wouldn't happen.
Nitza says the Florida school shooting may provoke reactions in students who were at Sandy Hook.
I mean, there's no right way for a child to grieve or to have a trauma reaction. And certainly for many of those kids, a real trauma reaction could occur. And so I think giving each child and, each group of children the space to have whatever reaction they're having and to be supported in getting whatever support they need. If a classroom wants to talk about it, needs to talk about it, that can certainly be helpful. There may be others who don't want to or can't verbally express what's going on with them. So for children, they need to be reassured in a realistic way that they're safe. That's really hard when you've been in a situation where you weren't safe. I guess my biggest recommendation there is to follow the lead of the children and not force them into one way of doing that.
Authorities say the 19-year-old suspect in Wednesday's shooting had been expelled from Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland for disciplinary reasons.
I think the need to assign blame or to find someone to put the problem on, I think that prevents us from having the hard conversations that we need to have and to be able to gather data and look at the facts and really try to approach this as a public health problem, which at this point it really is, as opposed to a political problem or a Second Amendment problem or whatever. I hope that where we're going is that we are able to stop and have a conversation, be able to collect the data that we need to be able to look at how, from a public health perspective, can we stop this? And I don't know the answer to that, but I know there have to be answers. We've been able to cut down deaths and other, you know, children drowning in swimming pools by passing legislation that there needs to be fences. And we've been able to cut down motor vehicle deaths by having people wear seatbelts. And so if we look at it through that frame, I think the solutions are out there.
The Institute for Disaster Mental Health's 15th annual conference in April will be focused on the psychosocial response to mass violence. It's a topic, Nitza points out, that unfortunately is timely practically any year.
Because the collective conversation is difficult to have, and we have not yet been very successful at looking at this through a facts-based lens or a data-driven lens, we're left to talk about what do we do as a response. And so we're getting pretty good at knowing what do we need to do as responders. But the problem then becomes we shouldn't have to be responding so frequently. And so I hope that we're able to, at some point here, we're able to stop and take a collective deep breath and re-engage around getting really good at preventing and not just good at responding.